Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Happy Sabbath, and welcome to the feast. Isn't it great to be here? In spite of the inconveniences, what did we hear yesterday? We're going to rejoice before the Lord. So that's what we're here to do, to rejoice. So this is the first day of the feast, and from what I can see, your faces, well, just your eyes, everyone is willing and ready to give cheerfully. Our God does love a cheerful giver. And some of you may have already given, so it makes my job easier. I wouldn't have to twist any arms, and I wouldn't have to make any promises of health, wealth, and prosperity, although that's in the Bible. And I wouldn't have to make you feel guilty, maybe just a little bit. Why wouldn't I have to do all that? Because we give because we love God and we want to obey Him. Deuteronomy 16:16 says, three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. And we give, brethren, because God has given us so much. The verse continues in verse 17. Every man shall give as he's able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. And what is our blessing? Our greatest gift. It's to know the truth, to know Jesus, who is the truth, and to know our Father. We owe God everything. And so I'm sure all of us are ready and willing to give cheerfully. But you know, we won't always be here, but we can't have the feast attitude. The time we have here now is to prepare us for when we're not here. And when we're not here, the question is, will we be willing to give when we're not ready to give? And I speak of giving in the broad sense. Give of our time. Give of our resources. Give advice. Give an encouraging word. Anything that we do in the name of Jesus Christ to bless someone else is given. So, will we be willing to give when we're not ready to give? You say, what does that mean? Let me give you an example. Suppose you need an item urgently, and you rush to the store, and you didn't pay too much attention to the price, and you grab it, you thought it was $50, and then you got to the checkout, and it was double the price. How many of you will put it back? Well, I'm sure a lot of us will put it back. But the purpose of this sermon is so that we do pay double, maybe triple, maybe give everything. The pain we feel when you have to pay double, when you have to sacrifice, this is what it means to be willing to give when we're not ready to give. Let's read Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, I know some of us may have trouble giving double, so let's start small. Will you be willing to give your lunch money? Easier, isn't it? Now, we'll look at Scripture. At a lad in Scripture who had to give unexpectedly. And I want us to put ourselves in his shoes. And think about it. You had something you planned to use yourself. You had something that you had set your heart upon to use on yourself. And then you had to give it away unexpectedly. How would you feel? So let's look at John chapter 6. In verse 1, I'll just give a little synopsis first. In verse 1, there's a great crowd of people who are following Jesus because of the signs which He performed. And it says Jesus went up on the mountain with His disciples and they sat there. So I'm going to read from verse 5 to 11. Now remember, you're in the shoes of the lad. It says here, then Jesus lifted up His eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards Him, He said to Philip, where shall we find bread that these may eat? But he said this to him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting around, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. Most of us remember the rest of the story. They gathered 12 baskets full of fragments. Now, doesn't this young lad intrigue us? I mean, I have so much questions for him. And the biggest question is, how come you're the only one that brought lunch? How come you had the foresight to bring lunch among the 5,000 adults? All I can say is, smart lad. How do you think he would have felt having to give up his lunch? And did this lad have any clue what would happen to his lunch? Here's someone who did not come prepared to give his lunch or food away that day, and yet he gave it willingly. And we see how the Lord greatly multiplied his gift. Some of us maybe are the product of someone who gave up their lunch money, so to speak. Someone gave when it was inconvenient. Someone prayed when they were tired. Someone called when they were busy. Someone greeted you with a smile the first time you came to church. Someone wrote an article that touched your heart. Someone did so many things that we could be here. Sorry, the page got messed up there. Yes, someone did so many things that we could be here. Now the question for us is, will we be one of those someones for the someones to come? Some of us may say, as Andrew said, what are they among so many? Or how will my small effort make a difference? We can't let that put us off. God can take what little we give and multiply it beyond what we could ever imagine. If we keep our talents to ourselves, who benefits? Ourselves. If we give it to the Lord, many benefit. Now, couldn't Jesus have made the fish and the bread from thin air? If he could, why didn't he? This is telling us something, that God is inviting us to be part of what he's doing. Do we want to be co-heirs with Jesus? Then we've got to be co-workers with Jesus. God wants to make us part of the process. But we have to put some skin in the game. We got to be willing to give that seed, and God will multiply it. Now, hopefully, we're all willing to give our lunch money, so to speak. But you know, as the people of God, we always aim higher. We always want to do better. God's got our lunch money. Now, if needed, can God get our life savings? Is it too much to ask? Let's look at this verse. Mark 8:35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. Can we give the more if we can't give the lesser? Now, will there ever come a time when we have to give to this extreme? Suppose we get an email and it says, one of our speakers has been arrested for hate speech. I wouldn't say who. The authorities want to scare the Christians into submission, so they've set the bail money at $10 million. Does anyone have $10 million handy? Or even $10,000? Or $1,000? I don't think it's so far-fetched in this climate. Are we ready for this challenge? To give to the extreme when we're not ready to give. Let's look at wisdom in the scripture. Did this happen to brethren before? We're looking at Acts 17. And we see Paul in Thessalonica. And he's reasoning with the Jews from the scriptures about Christ's sacrifice. He reasons for three Sabbaths, and they're not persuaded. So I jump into the verse, Acts 17, verse 5. But the Jews were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob, and set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, that is Paul and his companions, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and they are acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another King Jesus." Brethren, does our Bibles teach things currently that are contrary to the decrees of the government? Do our pastors speak things contrary to the decrees of the government? And do we as believers follow these teachings that are contrary to the decrees of the government? I'd say yes on all accounts. Continue in verse 8. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. How will we react having to give security or being guilty by association? What if someone cannot afford to pay? Will others step up to help? There's a certain mindset we will need to handle this. We see this in Philippians 3:8. It says, "Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Are we willing to suffer the loss of all things, whether we have to give it or if it's taken from us? Let's be like Paul, willing to suffer the loss of all things. It may be Paul, but we are not sure. So Hebrews 10:34. "For you have compassion on the plundering of your goods." So even if we don't want to give our goods or security willing, maybe it will be taken forcefully. And what is the attitude we need to have? To joyfully accept the plundering of our goods. Why? The verse continues saying, "Knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourself in heaven." Brethren, this is why we endure, why we're willing to sacrifice, because we know we have a better and an enduring possession in heaven. God has commanded us to give an offering on this high holy day, and God blesses obedience. So let's give and be obedient. God also wants to prepare us to be willing to give even when we're not ready, even when it will be a sacrifice, even when we may have to extend ourselves and maybe accept the plundering of our goods. Some of us are here maybe because someone gave their lunch money, so to speak. But all of us are here because of one who gave his life for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He held nothing back. Brethren, will we hold back when called upon to give, knowing that we have a better and an enduring possession in heaven? Amen.